brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
I go back and I tell them every week I watch film and I'm not impressed.
The kids are just playing with a level of intensity that we go out there and we feel like we've got to set the tone.
I'm still locked into the homemade fries myself. That's all right.
I think you lost us after the food conversation.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Football Friday in Georgia podcast here from the GPB Sports Studios. John is on assignment. I'm Hannah Gooden, and it is quarterfinals time. We've got some great guests today, neither of which are strangers to the big stage of the playoffs. One is coming off a huge win against Roswell and is now hosting our Football Friday in Georgia game of the week. And another guest has been to the quarterfinals 6 out of the last 8 seasons. So that is coming up. But first, we want to take a look back at the second round. Our game was Buford versus Lowndes. The Wolves knocking out the Vikings 42-7. And John, it was a sad day in South Georgia as Valdosta, Lowndes, and Colquitt were all eliminated. That was a bit of a shocker. How are you, buddy?
Yeah,
look at that background. Wow, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's about 9,000 degrees here in, late November? But now down here covering some soccer, back home soon. But yeah, it was a bit of a shock that to all of those seeds out of Region 1 end up getting eliminated. You end up with, on the right-hand side of the bracket, you see what Carrollton's offense. We've seen Carrollton's offense. We get to see what Carrollton's offense is capable of in taking out Valdosta. And then on our game, you get to see where Adam Carter has taken Lowndes. Very young team when he first started. And they're getting more acclimated to what he's looking for when it comes to his Lowndes Vikings in the 3-1-6-0-1. And then Colquitt, I think, was really the other surprise, getting eliminated in the upper left-hand side of the bracket. So Region 1 in 6A is going to have to be looking at everybody else, but it does set up some intriguing matchups here in the quarterfinals.
Yes, it does. And if you're not watching the video version, you're missing out because John has the most beautiful palm tree blue sky background. It's a pretty day here in Atlanta, too. But that, he's got like a sunbeam coming across his face. I can just see the vitamin D absorbing in your skin, John.
Yes, exactly. That's what we're here for. We're here for the vitamin D absorption. That's exactly why we're here.
We also want to congratulate two teams that have made it to the quarterfinals for the first time in program history, Cambridge and Cherokee Bluff. That is amazing. John, what other surprises did you see from the second round of the playoffs?
I'll give you another one. I'll give you Sequoia over Woodward Academy.
Ooh,
I think that one was one that
yes.
really put a lot of folks to, you have a Sequoia team that's beaten Gainesville and has beaten Woodward Academy. They now get to go to Jardine to take on Coffee in round number 3. But can Sequoia keep this momentum going? They're going to be going into an environment where they will not be the most heavily sized in by comparison. They won't be the tallest or the strongest or the biggest. But that hasn't mattered in these two games that they've had against Gainesville and against Woodward Academy. So Sequoia, I think, is wearing the slipper right now that has the football cleats on it instead of the heels. So I think that that's really one that you focus on. I think you look at Sequoia and see what the Chiefs have.
All right. I totally agree with you, John. I've got that team circled. Sprayberry, Jenkins County, Southeast Bullock are back in the Final Eight for the first time in more than 40 years. So there's going to be a lot of interesting storylines this Friday. An unranked LaGrange knocking out Sandy Creek, Stevens County beating Callaway, Aquinas taking down Athens Academy. The second round was a doozy. Is that just a preview of what's to come this week, John?
I think folks that are looking at it casually are sitting there thinking, yeah, give me that for round number 3. But those are the coaches that, two that we're talking to and everybody else that's in round 3 are like, no, let's calm things down a little bit. Everything's fine. We're good. We're good with all this excitement. Let the excitement get out of their system. But no, if it continues to be a precursor, you get to kind of see what reclassification has done in year 1 of this cycle.
I was just about to say, so reclassification has brought some of the craziest games this season, and I'm personally loving every minute of it. One of those coaches that is saying, hold on, take a breath, is Langston Hughes head coach, Boone Williams. He has been through the ringer this season and in the postseason, and they continue to show up time and time again on offense and on defense. They are clicking on all cylinders. He is here to preview their big quarterfinal matchup against TCC. So let's bring him on. Hey, Coach Boone, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Hey, thank you for having me. You guys always do us right and treat me well.
Well, you deserve it, Coach. You have gotten through the playoffs pretty handedly so far, 58-35 over Dunwoody in the first round, then Roswell 31-21 in the second round. How would you grade your team so far in the playoffs?
I think we're passing. we keep advancing. So I guess, you know, I don't know that grade is, it can go either way, you know. Yeah. But we at the end of the day, what I tell them is win the game, and we've been winning the game. So we've had some good things. We had some bad things we want to work on. But again, at the end of the day, when those 4-0s hit in the fourth quarter, we want to have more than them, and we did last week. So here we are in the third round.
When you look at everything that you think you need to work on, is it more as you go, or is it hopefully less that you need to go, or are you just tweaking little things here and there?
It's always going to be something to work on. It's not more. We just got to be do a better job of executing some stuff. Limit miss assignments, MA is what we call them. Stuff like that. You know, we just always going to, you know, worry about that and just doing a better job just critiquing what we do offensively, defensively, and just making sure we got, you know, the best game plan moving forward.
Before we turn the page and talk about what's to come, the Roswell game specifically, that was going to be and was such a good game. It was circled on everybody's calendars. How were you able to beat them and hold them defensively or hold them offensively in the second half?
So we wanted to challenge. I challenged my defense at halftime. I said, hey, listen, this is what they've been saying about our defense. This is what they're saying about their offense. And we knew right now the key of the game was the Roswell was Trey Smith, you know, the quarterback. You know, we do a good job of stopping him and making him have to hold and clinch the ball. We got a chance to give ourselves time to get to the quarterback. And the guy did a good job. I think we had two sacks right there down the stretch that were very pivotal for us, a couple overthrows, and, you know, we were right there in it. We had a turnover the first half, so I challenged my defense all week because I knew what Roswell offense was capable of. If you watch them all year, it was 40 points, 58 points, 60 points. So we knew what we had to do up front, and, you know, we had to just try to disguise some coverages and stuff like that on the back end.
When it comes to a matchup like this one that's going to be on GPB this weekend, Thomas County Central is going to want to come at you 19 different ways. You've got to be prepared for all their power and their speed game. How much of a challenge is it for you knowing that you've got to prepare for pretty much everything from the beginning of the playbook to the end?
That's one of the biggest challenges, you know, going into it. You know, really, let's be completely honest. You got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in a sense, a practice time to prepare for what you just talked about. But we want to try to, you know, understand, do what we want to do first. We want to break down what they're really good at. They're really good at everything you just said. Coach Rogers does an amazing job down there. So it's going to be a test of playing a complete game, offensive, defense, and special teams in all three phases. Being able to make adjustments when needed, understand what they're going to try to do. And you just, biggest thing is limit the big plays and, you know, keep them in front of us and get them to the ground.
Yeah, you mentioned it, Coach. It's a short holiday week, and playing on Thanksgiving week is a blessing because you're still in it. You're still vying for the title. But you have this huge holiday distraction. How do you handle this week as a coach?
So I think coaches statewide understand what it is that means to practice on Thanksgiving. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. And we always try to make it realize, like, I brought my guys in at 9 this morning. We practiced. We just got out of practice a little bit here ago. We want to understand. We try to be as balanced as what we want. I mean, normal as we've been in the past. And we understand that Thursday we're going to get them in early so we can get them out and enjoy time. And we're going to bring them in really early on Friday to, you know, to decompress and understand back where we are and what's at stake for 7:30 kickoff. So I'm going to bring them in as early as possible on Friday. Just have them around. Team building things lined up and things of that nature.
You graduated some big names last year, like Air Noland. How have you been able to maintain your success this season? That is not easy.
Well, Christian Langford has come in and he has been phenomenal for us. I think he's 29 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So he's, in a sense, right along the lines of stat-wise where Air was around this time, touchdown to interception ratio. This senior class were sophomores when we won a state championship. Freshmen, we lost in the state championship. So they've understood what it takes to get to the game 15. And that's just a lot of mentality of the players. Like, they understand where we were last year at 9-3. And it's crazy to say around here, 9-3 is a down year. So they understand, you know, kind of where we are and where we want to go and what it takes to do it. And that senior class is doing a great job leading.
Setting that bar, Coach.
I was going to ask, when you have this bar set the way that you do, how difficult is it to maintain, knowing that there's pressure externally from folks like us that want to talk about how successful you've gone the last couple of years, and then internally where the expectation is what it is, where 9-3 can be considered a down year? I mean, how do you manage those expectations?
Well, let me just say that pressure is a lot. It's a lot on, because nowadays with Instagram, Twitter, and all these different avenues, it's so hard to everybody pat you on your back. So we, like I said, I always try to bring them back down to reality. I always do a great job of trying to humble them and let them know that the job's not done. You know, it's one of the things that I take away from Kobe Bryant, and he, one game he had almost 50 points, and they asked him about how did he feel. He said the job's not done. You know, so that's kind of where the mentality I have with my guys, and the job's not done until game 15 is done. So we always something to work on. It's always somewhere to go. That's for coaches, players, everybody involved, because it's so easy nowadays to pay attention to everything else outside and let everybody tell you how good you are. And I go back and I tell them every week, I watch film and I'm not impressed. So
yeah, it's like what you said. I said, how would you grade your team? And you're like, yeah, we're barely passing.
We're passing.
And it's a double-edged sword because you've created this success. So it's been really fun to see. And I think that's why we get so excited to talk to you. On to the fun stuff. Let's talk about Turkey Day. Do you guys have a Thanksgiving tradition as a team? Do you, I don't know, what have you created around Turkey Day?
So our Thanksgiving, we take a big picture on Thanksgiving for practice and say, and it's usually Happy Thanksgiving from Langston Hughes football team, and we're in our jumpsuits, everybody's matching. That's one of our biggest traditions here when it comes to practicing on Thanksgiving.
Oh, we're going to have to see that picture this year. That'll be exciting.
Yeah, yeah. We got a couple of those, so that's always exciting.
So then you've got the Thanksgiving meal. Is there something from Family Boone that is a homemade dish or something special or specific that is just something that you had at the table that you brought in as a part of the team Thanksgiving meal?
No.
It yourself and it's like, I'm eating my food and you can't have it?
Well, if it's anything I'm eating, it's going to be probably sweet potato pie. Let me just say that. But for the family deal, I'm the guy bringing the drinks, okay, the ice, the cooler, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. We see you, Coach. Okay. last question. Stuffing or dressing?
It's definitely dressing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Definitely dressing.
That's going to be our question of the podcast. John, you got anything else for him?
I was going to say, well, I mean, stovetop stuffing is dressing. It's got to be homemade. Is it out of a box? What is it?
Oh, no, it's homemade. Start with cornbread, I think.
Strong.
It's making me strong. Hungry.
I can relate to that. Yes. Yeah, I haven't had lunch yet. Thank you for doing it.
All right, Coach. Well, thank you so much for taking the time on this busy week to join us. We cannot wait for our game on GPB. It's you guys against TCC, so we're really looking forward to it.
Hey, thank you guys for having me as always. Continue doing a great job for the state.
One coach down, one to go. And for this one, we find someone who is back where they think they belong and where they should belong. We go to Thomasville and catch up with the Bulldog half of things. Here's our conversation with head coach Jonathan DeLay.
Hey, Coach DeLay, thanks so much for being here today.
I appreciate it. Thanks you guys for having me.
You've had quite the run through the playoffs so far, getting through the first round against Bacon County 48-6, and then Temple 42-10. Your offense is on fire. What's working so well?
You know, the kids are just playing with a level of intensity that we go out there and we feel like we've got to set the tone from the beginning of the game and play to that level throughout the entirety of the game. And yes, the offense has been clicking, but the defense, they played really well ever since the since the Fitzgerald game. We've been, you know, we've done a really good job defensively. My staff's really good. The kids are very smart and they're good football players, and they love playing with each other. So they've done a really good job of taking the game plan and applying it and making plays when they come their way.
What's it been like for you to be back in single A? Because being in higher classifications, the regions are crazy. The regions are still crazy in single A. But what's it like going from triple A back down to single?
You know, it's we're back where we should be size-wise as far as the school goes. We're a little bit of an anomaly, though, with a single-A school. You know, we have, you know, 90 kids. We usually have 90 to 100 kids on the team. And when you talk about our school, we got 750 kids in the school, about 375 are boys. So we get about 100 of them on the football team. So we're one of the bigger single-A teams. But to be honest with you, you know, we play teams from higher classifications in our non-region. You know, we play Central and Cairo and guys like that. So, you know, I love being back, you know, playing Fitzgerald and all them, because that's the tradition. You know, that's the old double A region anyway. But, you know, to me, it's about getting in whatever tournament they say you got to get in and going and try to score more points than the other teams.
This is a team that's been to the quarterfinals six of the past eight seasons. So success after success. Who are some of the players that have been stepping up on your team this year?
And we've got a ton of them. I mean, I've got a great group of seniors, and really all the kids on my team. This it's kind of unique, because when I first started at Thomasville in 2017, I was the PE teacher up at the Scott Elementary School. So I've got kids on my team right now. My seniors, when I started here, they were in the fifth grade. And wow. My freshmen were in the second grade. So I've got a bunch of them that I've had for a long time. But, you know, seniors, I've got Keemon Jefferson, Jeremiah Humbert, Cy Wilson, EJ Bean. You know, those guys have really set the tone for us. And there's others in that class. But then in my junior class, you know, Cam Hill and Levante Cole and Joe Douglas. And then in the sophomore class, AJ Hill, Cam's brother. Those guys are playing so well. And we've got so many, you know, we had some – got a couple kids that are from Thomasville that had moved off. They moved back. Tyler Ivey's one of those, playing linebacker for us. He's playing phenomenal right now. We've got four seniors that play our two defensive line interior positions that are just playing great. Ann Anderson playing running back. Jalen Walden on the offensive line. I mean, our juniors and seniors, you know, 2 years ago when we went to the quarters, a lot of those kids were sophomores and freshmen, and they were playing, you know, so they've been playing together now for, they've really been playing together their whole life, but now in high school, you know, the last 3 years they've played together, and it shows.
What's it like to see those young men grow from those first days when you saw them to where they are now as young 17 and 18 year old stellar student athlete? What's it been like to see them, all of them, grow?
It's really unique. You know, some days I still see them as those elementary school kids that they were, because that's, you know, that's when I met them. And, you know, their personalities stay the same. You know, their physique changes. They get more mature and things like that. And then when you see them making the right choices, or see them doing things that you've coached them to do since they were in elementary school and they're doing them, you know, that makes you proud as a coach or as a parent. Just seeing those guys do things a certain way. But I love this team. I've got a really good coaching staff too. They do such a tremendous job of getting these guys ready to play that it makes my job a lot easier.
Playing in the quarterfinals is a blessing, no pun intended. So this is your second Thanksgiving with these guys. Do you have any Thanksgiving traditions there in Thomasville? What does this week look like for you?
Yeah, so we love, you know, obviously you're supposed to be playing on Thanksgiving when you're at Thomasville. This is not the best time to be playing. You know, obviously the best time is week 15, but you gotta play on Thanksgiving to play week 15. But we've always, since I've been at Thomasville assistant or head coach, we've always done a Thanksgiving meal with the team. So tomorrow, that'll be tomorrow at lunch. And the way we do that is our cafeteria lady, Miss Thelma Bates, her son used to play for us. She cooks a Thanksgiving meal for the kids, and our coaches' families come, and we do Thanksgiving, coaches' families, and the kids all together. That's so much fun. But then also, this week is football only. So we have a fall break, and that was our Fitzgerald week, and we're out the whole week. And we tell our kids, hey, look, this is a preparation for Thanksgiving week. This is how we're going to, you know, organize the week and whatnot. So we tell our kids, hey, it's football only. You're not worried about school. You're worried about football this week. That's it. And we had a great practice this morning. We can bring them in, feed them breakfast, practice, lift, feed them lunch, send them home, and they get some recovery time that they don't normally get in the other week. So this week's great to me. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, we're out of school, we're out of our routine. I love this week because our kids understand the routine. Some of them have done it so many times that they've been in high school or when they were in middle school, you know, they were managers or whatnot. So they understand the routine of what it takes during Thanksgiving.
Two-part question for you. And this is the hard-hitting stuff. Stuffing or dressing?
Okay. I'm dressing.
Which one?
Dressing.
Okay.
Dressing.
Okay. And is it homemade or what's the dressing like for the DeLay household?
I mean, my mother-in-law is going to make it. All right. And she does a great job making that. So, my in-laws actually live here in Thomasville. So we do a lot of stuff with them. And, my father-in-law actually coached here. He was the head coach back in from 2000 to 2004, but, she's going to make the dressing. It's going to be homemade. When I was a kid growing up, my grandmother would make it and, she was homemade and it was one of those, like, she would set out it called for day old bread. She'd set out bread and do all that. And she cooked in an iron skillet. So that was all those things, but definitely a dressing guy.
What's your other favorite? I was like, what's your turkey day favorite meal? Favorite thing?
Is there something specific to the DeLay household that would be like not in any other household?
On Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Well, the Christmas tree is going to be up, but that's, you know, it's already up.
Oh yeah. I mean, ours has been up for weeks.
Yeah. I don't think that's something that's not going to be anywhere else. Not that I can think of, not something that's super new, unique. You know, I'm going to get a nap at some point on that day. That's definite.
Oh, yeah.
As far as like, if I'm eating Thanksgiving, I want fried turkey. My father-in-law fries the turkey and it's really good. But the best part, to be honest with you, is not the Thanksgiving like actual meal. The best part is Thanksgiving night. We take the leftover fried turkey and we eat fried turkey sandwiches on white bread with homemade French fries. So that's even, you know, that's a little bit more looking forward. You save a little bit of room for that later in the day when you get up from your nap.
Homemade French fries. I am intrigued.
Delicious. Well, one more question for you, Coach, and back to the serious stuff. After Thanksgiving, it is the quarterfinals. You're on the road playing Dublin in the Shamrock Bowl. First of all, such a tough place to play. Mm-hmm. They run the Delaware wing tee. How hard is that to defend? And what is this game going to be like for you guys?
You know, it's going to be a heavyweight matchup. It's two really good teams. That's what I told our kids. It's two really good teams that have both been in these situations. You know, they've won state championships recently. You know, they knocked us out in 19 and won it the next week. But it's going to be about the team that can out-hit the other team. I mean, that's what this game is. They want to run the football, and they do such a great job running their wing tee. But what people don't really, I don't think a lot of people understand, is it's not just the wing tee. They run the wing tee and the option. So wing tee is a lot of stuff that's off tackle, and the option or the veer is a lot of stuff that where you're attacking in. So you're trying to get your ends to hold an edge, and then you're telling them, hey, you got to squeeze too on veer. So we're having to do a good job of preparing for both of those. They've got a dynamic quarterback. He plays everywhere, all over the field, offense, defense. But for us, it's about having great eyes, playing with great pad level, tackling in pursuit to the football. And then offensively for us, it's about ball security. We got to take care of the ball. We got to maximize every single rep because you don't know how many you're going to get. They may try to hold the ball. And then it's about communication and execution. You know, the last few weeks we've been able to start fast and play fast and score a bunch of points offensively. And, you know, we've done it against some good teams, and the teams just keep getting better. Tell the kids, you know, we've gone from 16 down to 8 now. The margin for error shrinks. We've got to do all the little things right. The teams that win now are the teams that do the little details right, the ones that everybody shows up on time. You clean the locker room. You make sure that all your I's are dotted and T's are crossed. Those are the teams that win these games. And we're in a situation where we're playing the team that's been there before, and we've got to go to their place and out hit them. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Anything else for him, Coach?
I don't think so.
I meant John.
Okay.
Coach, that was so well said. I think we can put a bow on this.
I'm still locked into the homemade fries myself. That's where I am.
I think you lost us after the food conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, we're now fascinated. We got to get the DeLay family fries now as a part of this whole thing.
Well, Coach, we can't wait to see what happens on Friday. It's going to be such a good matchup. We wanted to have you on because this is the top game, one of the top games around the state. So thank you so much for taking the time during your busy week and chatting with us.
I appreciate you guys for having me. Go Dawgs.
Okay, one more time. It is TCC versus Hughes this Friday on GPB, 7:30 p.m. The rest of the 5A bracket is Coffee versus Sequoia, Sprayberry versus Lee County, Houston County versus Milton. Really interesting games in this classification. For all of the brackets, go to gpb.org/sports, download the GPB Sports app. All of the things, follow us on social media at GPB Sports on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and you can get all of the information and follow us on this wild road to the championships. Okay, we got to get to the important stuff. Turkey
Day. Yeah, really?
Day. John, I can't remember what your favorite Turkey Day meal is. Remind me.
Mac and cheese.
Oh, yes.
Mac and cheese and banana pudding. Mm-hmm. If you can get me a good mac and cheese and a good banana pudding, it's almost like going to a good barbecue restaurant for Thanksgiving. Give me a good mac and cheese and straight mac and cheese. You don't have to do like the crumbles or anything on top of it. Just give me nice thick macaroni and cheese, and then you give me the banana pudding for dessert. I'm off and running. Or the lemon meringue pie. You go and get a good Edwards lemon meringue pie or a good key lime, and then I'm in business. I'm all good.
Jeremy wants to know if you eat your banana pudding hot or cold. I've never heard of hot banana pudding before.
I haven't heard of hot banana pudding either.
You've never had warm banana pudding?
No.
Oh,
nope.
You are missing out.
No.
Listen to me. On Thursday.
No.
Thursday on Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right.
Eat the banana pudding warm. It doesn't have to be hot, okay. but warm.
But like, okay. So like microwave it? It doesn't come warm.
Well, if you bake a meringue on it, it does come warm. Okay. Do you not bake a meringue on your banana pudding? What is happening here?
I don't think that's what we
You're
do.
Talking to someone. I don't cook. I defer to others. So you don't want me cooking in the first place. And I'm sure that Hannah makes sure that others, because she's having to deal with twins, you know, she has other people cook for her to help her out in that regard as well.
I love to cook. But yes, it is a very busy time of year. My specialty is the broccoli casserole.
Okay.
Don't knock it till you try it. There was a Thanksgiving where my mom forgot to make it. There was miscommunication. I was supposed to make it. I thought she was making it. We did not make it. And Thanksgiving was ruined. I mean, it was just, we'll scratch that year and try again next year. Broccoli casserole is a must in our house.
Wow. Okay. The green beans with brown sugar, vinegar, and bacon as a part of the marinade.
Oh, yes. Yes. This is all so good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me ask the guys. What is, Mark, we can start with you. First of all, stuffing or dressing? And second of all, I am a dressing girl. Second, I do not like stuffing, like at all. I skip it. Don't even get it on my plate. Stuffing or dressing? And what's your favorite Turkey Day dish?
Most definitely dressing. And I have to say, Jeremy is fundamentally wrong about warm banana pudding.
I agree.
Yeah, wow. No, it's a terrible decision.
That was not the question.
That was not the question?
Wow. It wasn't the question.
Answer the question, Mark.
The question.
No. So the best thing is definitely cold banana pudding.
Oh,
come on.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what we're going with here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
All right, Jeremy, your
turn.
With you.
My turn for, all right, definitely dressing. It's my big mama's definitely. Dressing. My big mama made dressing.
Big
and,
mama?
Yeah, my big mama.
Okay.
And before my big mama passed away, they had, she had never written down the recipe. Oh. So my aunts had to be with her and watch her make it and write down what she does and how much she adds. Yeah, because she would taste it and be like, no, it needs more sage. No, it needs more of this. And nobody knew how much went in it. But now we got it figured out, so we have Big Mama's dressing. And then, actually, that's my favorite. That mixed with the
warm
green
banana
beans.
Pudding.
No, but it's the dressing with the green beans. So she makes Big Mama always made her green beans in a pressure cooker with beef broth. And it was, it's the best. And that with the dressing. And the desserts, I can't pick one out, so I just have all of them.
Yeah. It's pecan pie in my house for dessert.
No, I can't do that. But the homemade thing that is outside the realm of normal Thanksgiving, the boss, my wife Patty, she has her grandmother's rice recipe, Stacy's rice.
Yes, yes, yes. You have told us about Stacy's rice.
Yeah, Stacy, no T. Stacy.
Oh, Stacy.
Stacy's rice. Yeah, and it is, for those that haven't listened to the previous Thanksgiving shows, it is...
First of all, you should go back and listen. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Two cans of beef consomme, a full brick of white rice, put the brick of white rice in, put the two cans of beef consomme in, and an entire stick of butter. They've had to translate from oleo. They've had to translate from oleo and margarine to butter because that's how old the recipe is. But yeah, they've gone from oleo to a full stick of butter. Throw that in, and it's the most fattening thing you'll ever have, and it's a meal unto itself.
Sounds not something that I would love. James, your turn. Dressing or stuffing and favorite Turkey Day dish. There we go. We got him.
Definitely dressing. Okay. Cornbread dressing.
Okay.
And probably just say dessert, because it doesn't really matter which one it is.
So cold banana pudding?
yes, typically it's cold banana pudding because there's no meringue on top. It's just pudding.
But what's your favorite dessert?
That's a hard one. Probably pecan pie.
Pecan pie. Amen.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Anyone else in there that needs to answer any of these important questions? I can't really see all that well through the glass. We have Will. Will. Hey, Will. Okay.
Hey, great to be here.
Thank you for being on. what are your answers to the questions?
Yeah. So definitely dressing. It's always been dressing. And I think that's my favorite thing to eat. I think that's the... I've missed Thanksgiving at home a few times, and it's like the only time of year my mom makes dressing.
Okay.
And so, yeah, otherwise it's pretty sad without it.
Wow.
That's what I go with. And, pecan pie probably.
Oh, you were about to say pecan pie. We were about to kick you off. We were about to kick you off the podcast instantly. Cut his mic. I'm just joking. Yum. Y'all, my stomach is growling.
Time to go eat.
That is a good podcast. Final thoughts on quarters coming up, John?
Can't wait. It's going to be some fun matchups across the board. And remember, the coin flips have happened, so we know what happens in this round. We know what happens in the next round. Go to ghsa.net to find out what happened there. As Coach Russell was there for the coin flip at figuring out the next round for like seeds. Can't wait for the matchup with TCC and Hughes coming up on Friday night. Can't wait to see what else is going to happen right here as we get ready for folks that are practicing on Thanksgiving, which is what coaches have as one of their markers when it comes to a season.
Join us at halftime and the post-game show. Don't forget, man, the post-game show. So many games and teams to keep up with, but it is so much fun. So do not miss it. That's the show. Thanks for watching the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here from the studios. That's John Nelson. For everybody behind the glass, I'm Hannah Gooden, and we'll see you on Friday.
Bro. brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.